This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
And Jason.
So we broke the story yesterday that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have settled their divorce. It did not feel like this was going to happen for all sorts of reasons. Kanye had gone through six lawyers. He was not showing up for depositions. The trial was looming for December 14th. They still need to work out custody and property. And he was not engaging. But we knew secretly Kim's lawyer, Laura Wasser, was trying to engineer some kind of a settlement, and she pulled it off. Kim is getting hammered online right now for getting $200,000, which is part of this settlement.
Per month
for child support. And everybody's saying, she's a billionaire, and why on earth is she getting child support? And what are we talking about with $200,000? Well, it's not so much that Kanye is footing the bill for the kids. He's footing the bill, and I know this sounds insane, everybody, but he's footing the bill for his portion, half of the bill. That the bill is not $200,000. The bill is $400,000, which means $100,000 a month per kid. I know that sounds insane, and if you want to attack it on that basis, have at it. But it's not that Kim is getting some windfall from Kanye.
It's not that she's getting windfall at all. It is interesting to structure it this way. It's interesting to say that they have joint legal custody and that the and physical custody, the expectation being that they would split the kids evenly.
No.
That's
not true.
Oh, is that not the expectation?
It says it. It says equal access to the kids, but we know what's behind it. Even Kanye has said Kim has the kids 80% of the time.
That's where I was going with this. It's a recognition that she is taking the kids the lion's share of the time, and therefore, if the cost that they've worked out is $400,000 a month, then he has to give her the $200,000 a month to make it equal.
That's actually a really good point, and I hadn't thought of that. It could be that, but at the same time, look, what I'm told is that they had to tiptoe around Kanye on this thing because he's, you know, off the rails.
Yeah.
And so if they said it that way, they put equal access in for a reason.
Yep.
They wanted Kanye to feel like he had equal access. So it's hard on the one hand to say, yeah, you have equal access, but on the other hand, you pay 80% of the child support because it could set him off. So you may be right, but I may be right too.
Right. Or they just sort of agree. Here's what's interesting to me. For months, we have heard about Kanye not participating in settlement negotiations in the mediations they had set up, not showing up to the depositions once it got that far. The terms of this agreement are pretty simple, right? The equal access, $200,000 a month is nothing to Kanye, nothing to Kim as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that this could, had he just participated, we could have had this resolution 4, 5, 6 months ago.
Oh my God.
Without too much hand-wringing, right?
There's really no dispute.
There's no dispute.
When you think
about
it. But here is there are two things that I don't want to that are just deliciously sneaky that I love, and I have no idea whether Kanye figured this out even. But one of the provisions is that the they're going to have some disputes over child custody.
Yes.
I mean, they just will. And even if this were, you know, two people who generally get along and everything else, you know, over time, do they go to this school? What do we do about disciplining here? You know, everybody has these issues. If they can't agree, they have said they will go to a mediator and the mediator will hash it out with them.
And that part's common.
Here's what's not.
Yeah.
That if one party doesn't show, the other party gets his or her way.
Right.
Okay. Translation, you want to do it?
The recognition that Kanye may or may not participate in any of this, may throw up roadblocks at every turn when she wants to do something, may say, I don't want my kids doing that. And then, so the provision is to go to mediation, as it often is. But if Kanye doesn't show, it goes forward with Kim's wishes.
And Kim knows the history there.
Yep.
And it was a brilliant thing to put in.
It really was.
The second thing that I find really, really interesting and revealing is that in the property settlement, it says that one of the provisions, that they had a prenup, so it's all governed by the prenup. And in the property settlement, remember, Kanye bought a house right across the street from their family house that Kim now owns, right across the street. It's kind of a fixer-upper house. And he wanted it because he wanted to be near the kids, you know, near Kim. He really had not gotten over the divorce. I'm not sure he still has.
Yeah, right.
But at the time, had not gotten over the divorce. So he buys this house. One of the provisions is you have to sell the house, Kanye.
Yeah.
You want to translate that?
Well, I don't want you that close.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's no other translation, right?
That was really interesting.
It was such a bizarre purchase of the house when it happened, and it seemed so needy, but at the same time aggressive by Kanye to make Kim know that he's going to be right across the street even if she doesn't want him there.
Now, if these were two people who got along and they said, we want to do this to make it easy on the kids where they can just go back and forth so easily.
Tom and Giselle style. Across the creek, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's all kumbaya either.
Fair enough.
But if it's a couple that does get along and they really are doing this for the kids and everything else, that might be kind of a cool move.
Although I would argue that in no divorced couple should ever live directly across
the street. How about this? Yeah. You can live next door, no binoculars.
Right, exactly.
Does that work?
That works. But I think that goes back to it because Kanye is such an aggressive move for him to move directly across the street from Kim. He's going to keep an eye, he said, for the kids. But what he's doing is keeping an eye on Kim.
Well, you know what
there.
It's going to be. I mean, she starts dating somebody.
Exactly.
And all hell breaks loose.
All hell is broken loose. Every time she's dated Pete Davidson, he's threatening Pete Davidson's life within a week.
So the final thing to talk about is this, that when two people have kids, and they have four, and they get divorced, they are joined at the hip for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Whether they're divorced or not, they are joined at the hips. There are going to be graduations. There are going to be birthdays. There are going to be weddings. There's going to be childbirth. There will be deaths. There are going to be holidays, all sorts of things. And they will always be joined at the hip. So they need, and this is such an important thing, you need a structure in this kind of an agreement, especially when you're dealing with somebody difficult. You need a structure, and you need a safety net. And Kim and Laura Wasser, I think, really created that safety net. This is a really interesting settlement that accounts for the instability of Kanye West in a way that didn't trigger him to the point that he wouldn't sign the settlement. Right. And I think that was a tightrope act, and I think it was pretty brilliant.
Pretty brilliant. You need somebody with the experience of Laura Wasser, who's dealt with large money celebrity divorces in the past, know how to navigate these things. I'm not sure she's ever dealt with somebody quite like Kanye West before.
Nobody
and it was probably a challenge for her.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a challenge for her. But she got there, and Kim got there. One thing I think we need to be clear about is that if Kanye goes further off the rails, start acting more manically, whatever it might be, she can obviously go back in and change the custody agreement. They're not set in stone.
You can always go in
right.
If there are changed circumstances or if there is a fitness issue with one of the parents, you can absolutely go in.
Right.
That happened with Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, where when Britney was going off the rails, she lost custody.
Yeah.
At first it was you need supervised visitation, then they required drug testing, and then she lost it and then got it back once the conservatorship started. So yes, this is an evolving thing.
I think the optimist would say, now that this is done, maybe Kanye can start to normalize a little bit, at least with respect to his kids and his ex-wife. Whether he's going to continue hanging out with Nick Fuentes, I think that's going to keep on going for a while, and that sort of wacky stuff.
I was with you until you just said that. Were you just saying it to say it, or did you actually believe that shit?
That what? He's going to keep hanging out with Nick Fuentes?
No, the hope is that Kanye's...
No, I think Kim's hope in getting the settlement done is that Kanye... Obviously, he has... He loves his kids, and
he does love his kids,
and
for
the fact that this has been out there, I think, has taken a toll on him. No, you give no quarter for this at all.
Oh, my God. Like, what's less than zero?
All right.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. and you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
All right. Okay, let's move on to gay marriage. This is interesting. The clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. The Republicans are going to control the House in January, and the right to marry if you're gay is on the chopping block at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, so we have the obviously the Dobbs case comes down, which changes, which gives back to the states the right to illegalize abortion. And so there was a lot of talk that this might also extend to gay marriage and to other things as well. And so Senator Tammy Baldwin, I was reading about this today, about 4 or 5 months ago, approaches approaches Republicans she knew believed in the protections of same-sex marriage. Months later, the House of Representatives actually first passes a Protection of Marriage Act.
Now, we should explain what that is. Yeah. That doesn't mean you have a federal right to get married.
Right. It means that so the federal government cannot control what a state does in terms of marriage. So they can't require Alabama to allow gay marriage in their state. However,
and that's a structural thing about our government.
Correct. And that's federalism and the rights of states to control certain things.
Right.
And that's always been the case and never been challenged. What this bill does is says, okay, we can't require Alabama to allow same-sex marriage, but what we can do is require Alabama to recognize another state's legal marriage of a gay couple.
So in other words, Alabama doesn't allow gay marriage. If two people from California get married, gay people get married, and then they move to Alabama, Alabama has to treat them the same as a straight married
couple. Give them all the tax rights, give them all the child adoption rights. And not only, it's not just a couple that moves to Alabama, importantly, it's a couple who's an Alabama resident who take a vacation to California or to
Las Vegas,
but wherever, yeah. And get
married. Well, I'm not sure about Nevada, actually.
I think Nevada is. Most states do have. Well, in any event, you fly to California, you get married in California, you're Alabama citizens, you move back, you go home, you are now married in the eyes of the law of Alabama, and Alabama can't do
you
anything.
You get married somewhere, every state has to recognize.
That's right. It's called the Full Faith and Credit Clause in the Constitution.
So the House of Representatives passed that. The Senate last night passed its own version. It was the same version, really, but they added something, and it had to do with religion.
Yeah, so it added a provision that says that a religious organization, a church, does not have to marry a gay couple. And that was important so 12 Republicans, importantly, 12 Republican senators joined with the full slate of Democrats in the Senate to pass this bill. Those 12 Republican senators said, well, wait a minute, we'll agree to this. However, we want to make sure that a Christian church that does not believe in gay marriage, that does not honor gay marriage, is not required to offer marital services to a gay couple. And so the Democrats agreed. Some are very upset, and some House members have spoken out about this, but you got to get the bill passed. And they didn't want to lose this. Because to your point, the Democrats are going to lose the House.
Yeah, and the reality is that was a compromise, but there are a million ways around that obstacle because there are plenty of places. For example, in California, there might be some churches that won't allow it, but there are so many places you can get married, even City Hall,
Let me ask you a question real quick. Gay man, how do you feel about—
Are you calling me gay man or are you calling me Harvey?
I'm learning. Yeah. All right. Yeah. How do you feel about the church's right to allowing religious organizations to discriminate against gay people in this way?
Well, look, I mean, I obviously disagree with it. At the same time, you know, look, I want to be able to live my life the way I want to live my life if I'm not hurting somebody else.
Yeah.
And if, you know, somebody in California wants to get married, they can. Now, and suppose you're in a state where there's one church or whatever that just doesn't allow it. You know, I mean, it's very complicated to me because, you know, what if this were a racial issue that a church said, I won't allow black people in?
Yeah.
And, you know, we wouldn't tolerate that.
It's not black people in, because that would be against federal law.
But no, I'm asking.
To get married.
You asked me about my personal feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm saying on that level, it's, you know, unthinkable that would be okay. Yet for them to say that a gay person can't get married in this church, what's the real difference? And I suppose if I had to answer my own question, the difference could be that in their religion, that's an issue. Being black isn't. And look, I mean, I kind of subscribe to Biden's principle that, you know, you compromise where you can still get that right. And even if it's not 100%, it's progress.
Right.
And that you make progress over time. So I'm okay with it, because I think it's significant progress and protection, especially with what the Supreme Court may be doing, and that does loom. So does it bother me? Yeah. At the same time, look, I'm not going to tell you have to believe a certain way in your religion, because there is a protection of religion in our Constitution.
Yeah.
And if you have a protection of religion, you have to align that with my rights, too.
Yeah.
And so I think it's more complicated than saying one person's automatically right and one person's automatically wrong. I think the compromise is fine, and it's progress.
Yeah, I just sort of think that there are going to be people who hate and are discriminatory, and as long as there are other ways for all people, whether it be black people or gay people or whomever, to achieve the rights they want, which is to get, in this case we're talking about, to get married, we don't want to fight that fight. I hate it. I hate allowing anybody to discriminate.
But it shouldn't be all or nothing. In other words,
if
you say, no, we're not going to accept that part, so we're not going to provide any protection.
That would be silly.
Well, no, that's part of what the extremes in Congress have been doing. And it's not about getting 100% or 0%. It's making progress.
Right.
And that should be the North Star.
That should be the North Star, without question. And you mentioned very briefly, the Supreme Court could unravel this entire thing on us. I don't think they will. But it's hard to look at this as anything.
I don't know you're right about that, by the way.
Well, they could.
I mean, what if the Supreme Court says, you know, we believe in the federalist system to this extent that you cannot force, well, you do have a full faith and credit.
They can interpret the full faith and credit clause somewhat differently.
Exactly. So I'm not sure it's a slam dunk that this is protection.
But I think,
but we'll see.
I think it goes a long way, and it's a really, really good day.
It's a really good day. But this is going to go back to the House. The House presumably will approve the way the Senate did it, because you need alignment, and then it goes to the president, and he will sign it.
That's right. And also could be unraveled by the next Congress as well. Or two Congresses.
It's not going to be unraveled by the next Congress.
Well, the Democrats hold the Senate, but they might not hold it in 2024.
And then, well, I'm just saying, in the short term,
yes,
this is protected.
Yes, right.
See you tomorrow.